Home to me means where my heart is.
Where I could feel comfortable.
To reserve and just enjoy the view.
Where my smiles are.
Safety, love. It was full of family, sharing laughter and stories.
Home, for me, is a place to belong.
It's more than physical structures.
Sacred space.
Walking around with my father when he would go trapping or setting snares or getting fish.
Home is where my heart and my happiness is.
It's where you get away. It's your sanctuary.
Home is with the people that love you.
Home is where family is.
A warm blanket that wraps around you and provides comfort.
Playing with my brothers and sisters and my cousins on the res.
Sure means different things to different people.
But everyone agrees that having a safe, healthy home is really important.
Speaking of which, how are you doing? It's been a while since we worked together.
That's right. Should we do introductions?
Sure. I'm Jennifer Francis from Kaktawishtahow First Nation.
And I'm Mick Favel from Kuwakatoos First Nation in beautiful Treaty 4 territory in Saskatchewan. How have you been?
Buried in books and papers, but I'm in my final year at the First Nations University of Canada. This spring, I'll graduate with my Indigenous Communication Arts Diploma and a BA in Political Science.
That's awesome. I finished the INCA Diploma a year ago, and I'm in my third year of journalism at the University of Regina.
All right, enough about us. Today, we're the hosts of Home on the Res, a radio podcast series about housing on First Nations.
Home on the Res is produced by the First Nation National Building Officers Association.
That's right. Finn Boa got in touch with our INCA professor, Shannon Avison, and we got hired to do the work.
I gotta say, it's pretty awesome work, talking to interesting people and hosting a radio show.
Isn't that the truth? I got to interview one of my idols, Ashley Collingbull. She was the first Indigenous Miss Canada, and in 2015, she was the first Indigenous woman and the first Canadian to be crowned Mrs. Universe. She's using her high profile to raise awareness about human rights issues, including missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls.
I'm so jealous. She's my idol too. She and her stepdad were on The Amazing Race, and she's a star on APTN's hit series, Blackstone.
Ashley, we wanted to start our new season of Home on the Res talking to someone who's well-known and get them to tell us about their home. Can you tell us what it was like growing up on the Enoch Cree Nation in Alberta?
It was great because I got to live with my grandparents, my mom, my single mother, and my grandparents, but the house was pretty full because my whole family was living there.
How big is your family?
For a long time, it was my grandparents, my mom, my sister, my auntie, my uncle, my cousin. There was a lot of us living in one house because it's hard to get a house when you're on the list on my reserve, so it takes some time.
I think that's how it is in a lot of First Nations. Can you describe the home you grew up in?
My grandparents' house is super old school, so it was made probably in the 70s, and then they added on a living room, and there's some really old parts to it that I love. As soon as you walk in, you just smell everything. Like, you smell what my grandmother smelled like, and she's not with us anymore, so that's one of the best things when you walk into the house is you can smell her. And she got this crazy tile floor built in the house. It's black and white tiles. I thought it was going to be cool, but it looks a little odd with how old the house looks around. But it has a small kitchen, but it has a large dining room because that's where we have all our feasts after sweat.
So you mentioned the smell of the house. Is there something else that was special that stands out about the place you grew up in?
That it hasn't changed. Every time I go home, nothing has changed. And I love that. You know, you can do so much in your life and you will change yourself. But when you come home, everything's always the same. The same smell, the same feeling. It's like a comforting feeling as soon as you walk into the house because it's where you've been all your life and it's who you are.
You mentioned that you had a lot of people living in your house. How did your family manage with living all together?
We took turns for the bathrooms. There was only two bathrooms. It was hard because it was so crowded, but we're all super loving and we love being around each other. So I think that's why family is so important to me because I was always around them. So I don't know what it's like to not have a big crowded house, but it was one of the best feelings because, you know, I got to see everyone in every room constantly. But we managed, and we'd always have lots of people over, too, because my grandparents were medicine man and medicine woman, so there was always people coming over for sweat. So there could be about 50 people in the house, you know, and it's just something that my grandmother taught me was that to always welcome people to your home that are asking for help. So I just thought it was a very welcoming environment.
So what were the challenges about the house you grew up in?
Definitely no access to clean drinking water. It was really run down, old, and there were some things that were falling apart. It was probably the access to clean drinking water, which was awful because, you know, you can't just pour water out of the tap. We have to wait for the water truck, and it would only come every so often. And this is like a problem a lot of people face on reserves is access to clean drinking water. And, you know, being on a reserve, you're so remote, you're out in the middle of nowhere, so it's hard to get places, especially when you're young as me. It was hard to go anywhere or get things because we're in the middle of nowhere, but then that was also the beauty of it was being out in the country is what I really liked, but no access to clean drinking water unless the truck came was really hard. And there were so many, and there was just so many people in the house, so many people that had to shower and have water. That was really hard.
There's an expression that says, home is the person or place you want to return to over and over. When you hear that expression, what does that mean to you?
To me, it's like home is where the heart is. And, you know, sometimes it can be a place or it can be a person. And me, when I think of home, I think of my grandparents' house because that's where I spent most of my life. But then sometimes I always think of people that I love. They're also home. So wherever they are, that's home to me. If that makes sense.
It totally makes sense. That's how I feel about my home, too. So obviously your career takes you to different places. Is there anything special that you carry with you that reminds you of the place you grew up in?
I have some protection that my grandparents gave me. It's I wear it on my neck, and my cookum taught me that it's important to always carry your culture with you everywhere that you go. And it's also my safety, so I feel protected, and I know that my culture is going to keep me strong wherever I go in the world or whatever I do, whatever dream I chase. So it's something that I always have on me, and it's home, and I'll smell it. It smells like home, and it's like I'm not even away.
With all the different things you've done, you must have lived in many places. If you think back, how many homes or places have you lived in?
Oh, my goodness. Growing up, I lived in my grandparents' house, ended up living in my parents' house when they finally got one. I lived on another reserve. I've probably lived in maybe about 7 different homes because also living on my own and moving and traveling. So about 7, and they're all completely different. Completely different environments, too.
With all that experience, what changes would you make to the home you grew up in?
You know, with everything, even the complaints about the water, probably nothing because we have water now, but honestly nothing because when I come back and, you know, my grandmother isn't there anymore, it still feels like she is there. So there's some things I wouldn't change, but little things, maybe just touching up the house a little bit because it is a little old, getting some things fixed. And, you know, reserve houses, they never change. They're always the same from when they were first built. So it definitely needs some touching up, but I love the atmosphere in there. There's nothing I would really change about it.
That's so awesome. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
I would say that, you know, living on the reserve, it was hard, but it made me stronger, that's for sure. So when I think of home and I think of the reserve life, I just think of, like, who I became because of that life I had.
That was awesome, Jennifer. It's so interesting to find out how famous people grew up on their First Nation.
I know. We have all these stereotypes about people, especially really famous, accomplished people, and we find out that they grew up a lot like we did.
For sure. And what a great way to kick off our second season of Home on the Res.
In our second episode, which we called Breathing Better Air, we talked to Dr. Thomas Covesi, a pediatric respirologist and professor at the University of Ottawa. He emphasized the importance of clean air for kids and had some great suggestions for improving indoor air quality that don't cost anything.
We also talked with two building officers from right here in Saskatchewan. Frank Bighead and Vince Jenneroux work for the Peter Valentine Cree Nation. They're big fans of a heating system called heat recovery ventilation.
Oh yeah, Dr. Kavesi talked about that too, HRVs. They're super energy efficient, but they have to be maintained to work well.
Frank and Vince have worked for CMHC. That's Canada's Mortgage and Housing Corporation, traveling across Canada, teaching housing officers and homeowners how to maintain their heating systems so the houses are warm and the air is clean.
That's a great episode. I learned a bunch of stuff I can use in my own home.
Episode 3 we called Where Have the Ice Roads Gone?
What do ice roads have to do with housing?
Many remote northern communities depend on ice roads to transport housing materials and equipment to their communities.
Ah, so if the ice road doesn't freeze, they can't get materials and equipment in by road.
Right, and then they have to move everything by sea lift or by air, which is insanely expensive and eats into the money that is supposed to be used to build the houses.
For that episode, we talk with Dr. John Pomeroy, who studies water and climate change at the University of Saskatchewan.
And we talked with a teenager, Ariel Lute, who lives in Tuktoyaktuk on the Arctic Ocean. This region in Canada is warming faster than anywhere else in the world. And the people in Tuk might be the first people to have to move their whole town due to climate change. Ariel and her friends made a film called Happening to Us to raise awareness about the impact of climate change on Indigenous people.
There are young people in other places like Norway, Sweden, Finland, and even Russia who are raising the alarm about the impact of climate change on Indigenous people in the North.
Well, it's young people that will have to live with the impacts.
Right. But it was interesting that Ariel said it was the wisdom of the old people that is going to save them.
That leads right into episode 4, Building with Traditional Knowledge.
We interviewed two Indigenous architects, Eladia Smoke from Northern Ontario and Alfred Waugh from the Northwest Territories, about how they incorporate their traditional knowledge and values into designs.
And they were both keen to recruit young people to consider architecture as a career.
That's right. Counting Eladia and Alfred, there are only about 20 Indigenous architects in Canada. Not nearly enough to go around.
And they both made it clear that different nations have different knowledge and values related to architecture. So we need Indigenous architects from every nation.
Episode 5 is about challenges that people in the North face when they are designing and constructing homes. This one made me realize what happens when you use Southern designs and materials in Northern climates.
That's what Indian Affairs and CMHC have been doing for years.
Right. So now it's up to Indigenous people to design and build homes that will last 70 to 80 years, like homes in the South, instead of just 20 to 30 years.
Dr. David Fortin is working with FinBoa and other partners to develop a technical guide for Northern housing that will help building officers make good choices for their communities.
And Chris Stove works for the Interlake Reserves Tribal Council in Manitoba. He had some great advice for Dr. Fortin and FinBoa as they finalized the guide.
I love the way each episode of Home on the Res has an expert and a real person.
Experts are real people.
I know. But expert advice is no good if it doesn't take into account the lived experience of the people.
That is true. And episode 6 is my favorite.
I can't decide which is my favorite. But episode 6 is certainly a good one. It's about First Nations firefighters. Many of them volunteers.
I found it interesting that Ganawage firefighter Arnold Lazare said that if a fire truck is rushing to a fire, they have already failed.
That's right. Arnold and firefighter Michelle Vandevoorde from Muscadet First Nation in Saskatchewan both emphasized prevention as the best solution to fires on First Nations.
Holy cow! People are going to learn a ton from this season of Home on the Res.
Home on the Res is heard on 6 Indigenous radio networks. Shone FM in the Yukon, CFNR in Northern BC,
Wabate in Northern Ontario, NCI FM in Manitoba, CFWE, the Native Perspective in Alberta,
and Mississippi Broadcasting here in Saskatchewan.
Altogether, Home on the Res is heard in over 350 communities across Canada.
And you can listen or download episodes of Home on the Res from the FinBoa website at www.fnnboa.ca.
We want to say thanks to our Chase producer and coordinator, Annette Ermine, and our transcript wizard, Morgan Esperance. Megan Curry at Crossing Design designed our awesome logo, and Shannon Avison is our writer and producer.
And don't forget John Kudrowski and Keith Miracle at FinBoa. They made all of this possible.
Thanks for listening. Keep listening to your Indigenous radio networks across Canada to hear the next episode of Home on the Res.